Hi, welcome to Navel Gazing on valleyindy.org and 103.5 WNHH, New Haven's community radio station. Today's episode is brought to you by Valley Gives Back, a new initiative of the Valley Community Foundation. Adding a charity to your estate plan creates a legacy that tells future generations what causes matter to you during your life. Your action inspires others to follow your lead and to make a difference. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact your community forever without affecting your current lifestyle. For more information, visit valleygivesback.org. The Valley Gives Back is an initiative of the Valley Community Foundation, connecting private philanthropy to the long-term public good of the Valley. Plan now, give later, impact tomorrow. valleygivesback.org. Hey, everybody. I'm Eugene Driscoll. Welcome to Valley Navel Gazing. It's heard on 103.5 WNHH, New Haven's community radio station, and valleyindy.org. That's Ethan Fry.
What's going on?
Yeah, you got to say hello because we're also recording the audio.
We are, yes.
Killing me with hand gestures. So we're doing a little confusing thing here today. We're recording an intro for a podcast we just recorded, podcast being audio only. And our guest is Fran Pastore, Chief Executive Officer of the Women's Business Development Council, which has a really active office on Roosevelt Drive in Derby. So when this becomes a podcast, we're also testing out our Mevo new live streaming camera we've been playing around with, trying to improve the audio on it, which is hasn't been good thus far. So as I talk, this is also being streamed on Facebook Live. So before we get to the podcast, assuming you're listening to this in a couple of days when it posts, I thought first we would go over a couple of things. You know, lists. People love lists, right? That's what makes money on the internet, right? Weird. Lists.
Yeah, listicles.
Listicles.
BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
The little smiley face icons that you could click on the... is that BuzzFeed?
What Stranger Things character would you be? This Week in History. Stolen from derbyhistorical.org. I'm left-handed. This is giving me problems.
Yeah, This Week in History, derbyhistorical.org. November 15th, 1958. Ansonia, baseball great Jackie Robinson is the keynote speaker at the NAACP Fight for Freedom rally at Ansonia High School.
Holy cow.
Yeah, the mayors of Derby and Ansonia greet him. 900 attend the rally and listen to Mr. Robinson urge African Americans to, quote, stand up and be counted, work together, and accomplish 100% citizenship. I did not know that Jackie Robinson had spoken. Jackie Robinson spoke at in Ansonia in the 1950s. So yeah, that was interesting. A little further back in history, November 19th, 1906, Ansonia. A driver of a coal wagon is fined $25 for hitting his mule, Maud, over the head with a shovel. Five witnesses testify against him. So good to see enforcement against abusers of animals that far back. And 1905, November 21, the outgoing Ansonia Board of Aldermen make one of their most popular decisions in years when they forbid a resident from cutting down a large elm tree at the corner of Main and Canal Street, Central Streets, excuse me. So some civic engagement back then. Interesting to see.
I don't think so. That was a poor choice to put on there. Joining us on the line is Fran Pastore, the executive director of the Women's Business Development Council, which has an office in Derby, which I just learned. I was completely ignorant of that, and I apologize. But Fran, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me today.
So before we get into what the Women's Business Development Council is and how people can learn more about it and actually benefit from the services offered, I wanted to ask you, I have to ask you, with the national landscape, everything that's going on every 5 minutes, it seems that we're hearing more and more about sexual harassment in the workplace. It's obviously nothing that we've ever seen in our lifetime. What is your take on what's happening Is there a light at the end of the tunnel with this? Is there anything positive going to come out of this avalanche of information that we're receiving?
Well, let me start by saying that I want to comment on something that you said we haven't seen in our lifetime. You're right. We haven't seen women coming forward in this way in our lifetime. But I can tell you, as a woman, in my lifetime, this is nothing new. It's nothing new for me. It's nothing new for the majority of women in my circles. So just to answer the question from that perspective, I think when you ask, is there an end in sight? I hope not. And I hope that what has happened will continue the trend that I have been seeing. Record number of women. And I just had two meetings this morning that confirm what I'm about to tell you, is that whether it's women in politics, whether it's women in positions of leadership, whether it's women investing in other women-owned businesses, whether it's women coming to the Women's Business Development Council to learn how they can get involved, get engaged, or become entrepreneurs or grow their business, women are coming out of the woodwork and stepping up to take part in the momentum of this change and taking control of their lives, again, whether it's in politics or in business or in leadership. So I hope there's no light at the end of the tunnel, because this movement is very, very long overdue.
And it seems...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
And the momentum is something that I think women are responding to in great numbers. I actually listened to an interview on NPR this morning with the head of the Women's Campaign School at Yale, Pat Russo, who talked about getting women ready to run for office, regardless of political persuasion. And the number of women that she has seen here in Connecticut coming to the campaign school has quadrupled since last November's election.
Yeah, and what, I mean, I think I might have an inkling as to what the answer to this question is, but I'll ask anyway. What has happened in the culture, in our society, in the last year or two or 3 years to allow women to come forward? And I guess the ultimate result is that you'll hope that this behavior will change, where now if you're a person who engages in this type of behavior, it's no longer okay. You will be called out on it. What's happened?
I think that what's happened is that there are leaders in our country who have given us reason and in some odd way permission to come out. You know, after the election, women were so, so angry, and I include myself among them, you know, not for partisan reasons whatsoever, but to think that this behavior was going to be acceptable in the leader of the modern world, right? And women were angry. And I believe that women were angry for a few weeks. And then we said, we need to do something about this. And in droves, what we've seen are women coming out to effect and cause change. There is no need to be angry. We need to turn our anger into action. And I think that that's what we are seeing happen, and we're seeing it happen across demographics, across socioeconomic backgrounds, across all ages and all educational backgrounds, and across party lines. It doesn't matter. This is not about partisanship. This is an economic issue. When women have economic control, when women have economic equity, and they are empowered economically, they will have a voice. You know, there are over 11 million women-owned businesses in this country that generate billions of dollars in sales and employ 9 million people. We have the economic clout to effect change. And I think what we're saying is, now is the time.
Segueing into the subject at hand, the Women's Business Development Council, you've celebrated 20 years as an entity, I believe, this year, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And how did you first get involved with the council?
Well, I actually started the council 20 years ago, because I was at the time very, very interested in women's economic empowerment. I was a single mother of two young girls. I was unemployed, and I learned that Connecticut was the only state in the country in 1995 that did not have a resource, an educational resource for women who were interested in starting and growing businesses. And so my interest in women's economic equity and small business aligned at the perfect time. And that is how entrepreneurs are born. Entrepreneurs see a need in their community or a need or a mark in a need or a gap in the marketplace, and they attempt to fill that gap. And so that is how the Women's Business Development Council was born 20 years ago.
And then in terms of your mission statement of the organization, I've just read from the website, the council educates, yes, motivates, and empowers women to achieve economic independence and self-sufficiency. And so delving into that a little bit more, it looks like, I guess, there's two different tracks or facets of the organization.
Actually, there are three, actually. It's three pillars.
Okay, yeah, let's go through them, yeah.
Yep. Entrepreneurial training, financial education, and access to capital. So I'll start with the last one first. And, you know, it wasn't until 1988 that a woman could access a commercial loan without having a male co-signer.
Wow.
And I will say that again, because that's, yeah, 29 years ago, a woman could not access capital in her own name for commercial purposes without having a male the age of 16 or older co-sign a loan for her. So I want you to imagine this. Let's say that the Dew Drop Inn in Derby is woman-owned, and it's been there forever. It's been there forever. And they do business. They've been doing business for 20 years with a local bank, and it's 1987. And they decide that they want to expand. They go to the bank. They talk to the banker that they've been doing business with for all those years. They have great cash flow. The P&L is beautiful. The credit's perfect. But Mary, you can't get a loan unless you have a male cosigner. Imagine that. Imagine it's 1972 and you're a woman and you want to buy your first car, or you want to get your first credit card, or you'd like to buy a piece of property. You cannot get a loan for those purposes without a male cosigner in 1972.
That is shocking. I'm ashamed to say I had no idea.
Yeah, same here.
Now, is that still, I mean, that's not that long ago at all. How difficult do you still, I mean, we hear, I'm going off stereotypes. The Valley sometimes, and I live in Derby, and when we started, oh, the Valley's this backwards place. It's do you still find the vestiges of that old institutional garbage still in place in Connecticut anywhere, or is that pretty much gone away? Or,
well, it's not just Connecticut. It's across the globe. Across the globe, access to capital is still the biggest obstacle to growth, small business success for women entrepreneurs. 90% of women-owned businesses in the world have gross revenues of less than $1 million. And the biggest challenge that they have is accessing capital to grow those businesses. It's a national statistic that in the United States, it takes women an average of six attempts to secure a traditional loan from a traditional lender. There have been studies done by the National Women's Business Council that reflect that a man and a woman separately, with the same business, the same business plan, the same education, the same credit score, and the same presentation, will go to a typical traditional lender for capital. The man will walk out with the loan. The woman will be asked six times to return with additional information. Now, that's where the Women's Business Development Council comes in. So our access to capital pillar, what we do is we package loans to help women get the funding they need and to minimize the number of times that they have to go back to respond to questions. So what we're doing is what I would call window dressing for the lender. We put all of the pro formas in place, all of the financial statements, everything that one needs, the business plan, so that when you go for capital, you are in the best possible position to respond to questions. You know, a typical problem with entrepreneurs is that they know their business. They know what they know. So an architect will know her business, but she doesn't necessarily know about the business of running that practice. A woman who owns a hair salon, a doctor, they know their practice. They are practitioners. They may not know how to run a business, and therefore the odds are against them, given the history that I just gave you, when it comes to accessing capital. And that's, again, what we do. So the access to capital pillar is to help women overcome the obstacles of accessing capital by getting them ready to do that. Our financial education pillar comes into play there as well, because we help women get not only their business finances in order, but their personal finances in order. So the Access to Capital program helps women improve their credit score, improve their savings, and decrease their debt so that they are in the best possible position to take the next step in small business or entrepreneurship, whichever, you know, wherever they're out pursuing, and in their personal life. Some women come to us thinking that they want to start a business, when in reality, they are not cut out to be entrepreneurs or business owners, because one of the reasons that holds them back is that they need to get their finances in order. And then lastly, and certainly not least, because it's the biggest piece of what we do, is our entrepreneurial training. Our entrepreneurial training is for all women at all stages of business development, whether they are in the startup phase, whether they are in existing businesses. You know, our clients have gross revenues from $25,000 to over $2 million. It doesn't matter where you are in this, in the growth stage of business, we will provide you with the tools that you need to grow your business, and to teach you how to mitigate the risks to startup as well. So we help women get certified as women business owners so that they can access contracts so that they can grow their business. And we help women access capital and everything in between, marketing, management, you know, long-term training programs that help you write a business plan, distinguishing between, you know, different financial statements and what their purpose is and how to use them as strategic tools to grow your business and make calculated business decisions. So it's across the board. I always say women from GEDs to PhDs come to the Women's Business Development Council.
And this is, these are free services. I don't necessarily have to pay a fee to engage.
90% of our programs are free. We are funded by the federal government, the state of Connecticut, Fortune 500 corporations that have a presence in Connecticut, and private philanthropists throughout the state, the majority of whom are women, who want to see other women succeed in business.
And in terms of budgets, you know, the state budget was a nightmare this year. The federal budget is a whole other story. How are you doing in terms of that money?
Well, I think our legislature has done a very good job of recognizing the economic impact of the Women's Business Development Council. In our 20-year history, we have served over 18,000 clients and witnessed the creation and the expansion of over 1,800 jobs. 4,200 jobs and 1,800 businesses, and saw the expansion of at least 3,500 businesses. Our clients have generated for the state of Connecticut millions of dollars in tax revenue. And in the last 3 years alone, nearly $11 million in tax revenue. So I think our legislature made the right decision in continuing to fund the Women's Business Development Council. And I'm really, really happy to report that. Again, I think it's a sign of the times. You know, women and the economic clout that we have to create businesses, create jobs for other people, create opportunities for other vendors in our state to do business with us. You cannot put a price tag on that. And we know that the majority of the jobs that are being created between now and 2020 are being created by women-owned businesses.
And then if you want to if you want to see the impact of our listeners, want to see the impact of what the council's done, you can. You don't have to look far in the Naugatuck Valley. Up in Seymour, Ethan, we just ran a press release from the council of a local business in downtown Seymour.
Wildflower Confections.
An important business to downtown Seymour. Mm. So what was the owner and what was the connection to the council there?
Alyssa DiMatteo owns that business, and she used to... She worked at a bakery, then decided she wanted to start one of her own, and went to the Business Development Council. Do you find that that's like the usual track that, you know, a person has a job that they want to branch out on their own and they reach out to you? Is that usually how things how that's done?
I can't say that it's usually how things are done. What I can tell you is this: women start businesses for one of two reasons. Necessity or opportunity. Necessity in that someone like myself, so you described myself and Alyssa DiMatteo actually, we fit that mold, right? We're women who had a job, were dissatisfied, were looking for something else to do, and ironically, there was a need in the community for a bakery. There was no bakery. In my case, there was no Women's Business Development Council. So that's opportunistic. Necessity is when women find themselves through a variety of different socio factors, whether they're burdened with, caring for elderly parents, they have small children, their job is not, you know, it's a minimum wage job or a job where they've hit the glass ceiling and there is limited flexibility for their lifestyle. And they're tired of being in a marginalized position. And so necessity will dictate. And oftentimes those women will go out and venture into starting your own business. So, you know, I'll repeat myself by saying that, economic equity for women is a socioeconomic imperative for our country, but really in a big way for the state of Connecticut, because of the volume of women business owners and the growth potential that they have. I think since 2007, we've seen a 45% increase in the number of women business owners throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And until very recently, Connecticut women-owned businesses were outpacing the rest of the nation in terms of revenue. And I think that's a function of the demographics in the state.
Hi, it's Eugene of ValleyIndy.org. Hope you're enjoying this episode of Navel Gazing, the Valley Indy podcast. Just wanted to talk to you for a second about the Valley Gives Back, a new program of the Valley Community Foundation. They're supporting this podcast. Adding a charity to your estate plan creates a legacy that tells future generations what causes matter to you during your life. Your action inspires others to follow your lead and make a difference. And with a planned gift, you have the power to impact your community forever without affecting your current lifestyle. For more information, visit valleygivesback.org. The Valley Gives Back is an initiative of the Valley Community Foundation, connecting private philanthropy to the long-term public good of the Valley. Plan now, give later, and impact tomorrow at valleygivesback.org. Now back to the show. And let's talk about Derby specifically and what the Women's Business Development Council does locally. You have an office at 412 Roosevelt Drive in Derby, and the phone number is 203-751-9550. What happens, and that's essentially next to Maddie's Deli, so you're in a good location.
Right on the river. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, you're literally right on the river. What happens at that location?
Everything happens at that location. All of our training in New Haven County happens at that location. So we're offering our long-term and short-term training programs there. And we're offering business counseling, everything from legal to capital access to marketing. We are open 5 days a week from 9 to 5. We have evening hours by appointment and programs in the evening and during the day as well there. Derby made a lot of sense for us. For a variety of reasons, and some of them are just, you know, serendipitous. But we knew that we wanted to be in New Haven County. We had a large percentage of the women that come to us from New Haven County, And in particular, from the Valley, we started seeing an influx of women. When we were impacted by the reduced funds from the state, we were looking for office space that was more affordable. And we stumbled upon this office space, which is actually owned by a woman-owned business in Derby. And it was very lovely being on the river. And it was easy access for our clients up and down the valley to get to. And we decided that it would really work for us.
Now, are you...
So
are,
we've been there...
Go ahead, friend. I'm sorry.
We've been there for 2 years.
For 2 years.
And are you, been there for, I think January will be 2 years. Yep.
And are you headquartered? Are you still in Stanford now? Or is it a Derby? Is it a satellite office? Or is it the main headquarters now? Or
So we have two offices. One in Stanford, which is our headquarters and our birthplace, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the office in Derby is, you know, our regional office in New Haven County.
Gotcha. Okay. Fran, before we let you go, is there anything else you wanted to add or that you feel is important to stress?
Well, I think, you know, you raised it in the initial part of our conversation, which is this time and place that we're in.
Mm.
And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is actually a recent quote from the dean of the Harvard Business School, which says that the greatest dignity that we can give anybody is economic self-reliance. And that is what the Women's Business Development Council is all about. You know, I believe that our work has never been more relevant than it is today. We started out this conversation by you asking me, you know, what my take was on all the accusations that we've seen. And I really believe that when a woman is economically empowered, and I think that's a big, you know, as I reflect back on your original question to me, I think that's a very big piece of what we're seeing today. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, your job was at risk if you said something. You didn't really have the clout in the position that you held. We know that women are still lagging in leadership positions, you know, across the board. But I think we're at the point where women are starting to recognize their economic clout and the power that they have. And once we recognize that and we are in a position to take care of ourselves and our families, I think that we are really capturing that momentum right now. And, you know, we need to have a voice in society around debates over violence and healthcare and unpaid work, right? And I really believe that women and men men that are in positions of leadership have an obligation to help other women and create opportunities for advancement at all levels of society. So, you know, I'll close with saying that we women need to have an equal say in every single aspect of society where decisions are being made that impact us. And we need our male allies to stand up with us and for us. And I think that is the single most important thing we need to remind ourselves with. Let us not be angry. Let us take action. And let us engage our male counterparts in the fight for economic equality. And then we will see how quickly all of these attention-grabbing headlines that we're reading about start to dissipate.
Hmm.
And on that note, I will say that women who are interested in starting a business and becoming economically empowered can visit us at www.ctwbdc.org.
Definitely. Fran, thank you so much for taking a few minutes of your day to talk to us. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for inviting me to speak, and I hope you'll encourage your listeners to visit us in our Derby office. And I hope maybe you guys will stop by too, because we do work with men.
I was going to say, yeah, and we're two reporters trying to keep a nonprofit online newspaper running.
We
probably need the help
whatsoever.
Come on in. Come in and speak to one of our business counselors. Email me directly and I'll get you set up.
Thank you, Fran. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
For hundreds of years, we've brought you the news. For energy info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Change in market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public dude. discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. Our readers are in the opens each day. Yeah. Online clickbait, a prurient way. Yeah. It's free information here to stay. Newsroom shrinking, constant attrition. We'll ride the dinosaur. We'll ride the dinosaur. Pictures too. An editorial comment for a buck or two. Fire down the block, the murder next door. And now we wonder what it's all for. Social media coming free to your funny pages. The mayor's wages, criminal seats, corruption schemes. Ink-stained wretches asking tough questions. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. The presses are running all through the night. We're printing the truth with all of our might. We're platform agnostics, got that interweb too. Buy an ad, see what we can do. We still have subscribers, still have our fans. We're here every day, so give us a chance or we'll make an art stand. Just hold us in your hand. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur.